And this is why we have to make sure that we don't allow pride to cause us to view God differently, to view ourselves differently, and to also view other people differently. Because what happens is when you start viewing people as insignificant, you destroy relationship. And whenever you destroy relationship, you destroy a vehicle or avenue for God to send his favor through. Because you do know when God bless you, he's going to bless you through some type of relationship you have. I was just upstairs in a meeting. We were talking about this possibility. I told y'all about the lady who said she was going to give us $10,000, bless her heart, and we're going to go meet with her. Amen. Told y'all I was going to get with her. Amen. So we're going to go meet with her. But we asked her, how did she find out about us? She said, well, we found out about you because we just called the Chamber of Commerce. And because our church has a relationship in the community with Chamber of Commerce says, oh, y'all looking for an organization that's doing this? Beacon Light is doing this. And so now that favor was extended to our church. Come on, think about all the churches in Hammond, all the churches in Pontoon, all these other churches who are doing great things. Nothing to put down on those churches who are doing great things. But out of all that, see, that's what the favor of the Lord is. The favor of the Lord is when you become preferred over everything else. But it was done through a relationship. See, and that's why you got to be careful about destroying relationships. Because when you destroy relationships, you destroy an opportunity for God to move his favor upon your life. So we have to see, you have to see everybody as significant. Look at your neighbor right now telling you somebody special. Amen. You somebody special. That's it. Because watch this. Who you look down on your nose to today, you may be looking up to tomorrow. Oh, come on, somebody. Because the Bible says that Joseph had breakfast in the prison, but he had dinner in the palace. And just like that, if you keep yourself humble, God can take you from obscurity to notoriety, because that's what favor does for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, don't play me like that. Amen. That's it. Don't play me to the left. Amen. Because of where I am right now, baby, I'm on the move. You better keep your eye on me. I'm going somewhere. But pride will do that. Pride will have us only associating with certain people. Now, if you ain't in this tax bracket, then we can't get down. Shoot, I done learned. I speak to everybody. How y'all doing? Amen. Amen. When I walk through the airport, I see the janitor. How you doing, man? You know, because there's been times before when it was a little insignificant folks that then got me through the security check so I can make my plane on time. I understand that faith, God can use anybody to favor you. Why does God hate pride? And why is pride a blessing blocker? Number one, because he abhors. He hates pride. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 6. Watch this. Look at what he says, Proverbs 6. This is going to bless you. Proverbs 6. Somebody say, he hates pride. He hates it. Now, I'm sure God hates all sin, but the word specifically says right here in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, these six things the Lord hates. Now, watch this. I'm sure all sin God hates, but this has to be something for him to specifically inspire Solomon to write this. He says, yes, seven are an abomination to him. Look what he says in verse 17. The first one is what? Watch this. He didn't even say a proud act. He said, a proud look. You don't even have to say nothing or do nothing. He said, just look like you want to be proud. You know, and if Doris Abel was saying, she said, just look like I'll smack you. I just look like you want to be proud. Come on, now listen what God is saying. He's saying, this is how serious I take pride. That you could just look like you want to be proud. Look like just because you got a nickel above a house note that now you want to act. He said, just look. Double dog dare you to look like. He says, I hate pride. He says, not even just pride. I hate a prideful look. You know why? Because many of us, like Saul, when we were small in our own eyes, God says, I remember you when you wasn't nothing. He says, so I dare you to start looking like you've accomplished something. And see, in the church, we got to watch this, because the way pride slip up is those of us who start walking with God and God start giving us some victories, and now we don't do this no more and we don't do that no more. And now we want to start looking prideful. We want to start telling people about how holy we are and how good we walk. And yeah, you know, I'm delivered. I don't do this no more. I don't slip around no more. And I don't do all that. God said, okay, but that is something you do. Proud look. We want that's the pride of self-righteousness. That now you think you've accomplished all of that because, you know, you've been in church 50 years and just stopped smoking last year. Proud look. He said he hates a proud look. Number two, it's a blessing blocker because God withholds favor from prideful people. There's some things that God wants to do in your life, but he can't do it until you humble yourself. You're just so prideful. You're just so prideful. Let's go to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. We was here Sunday. James chapter number 4. He said, I don't like a pride look. Look at your neighbor and say, watch how you look. Amen. Amen. Tell him, fix your face. Better fix your face. God said, you know, he better not catch you trying to look proud. You get a new car and you looking proud. God said, I seen you when you was on your knees begging me to get that thing approved and to get this worked out. And Lord, don't let them see this on my credit. And then you got the nerve to look proud once you pull up somewhere. Man, please, you ain't fooling nobody. Come on now. You beg, Lord, let my credit score come back. I'm sorry, God. Please, I got to wait. I need you to work this out so I can get this house. And then you get the house, and then you got the nerve to be arrogant. But certain people can't come over to my house. I just don't want that spirit in my house. No, yeah, we got to make it real spiritual. I don't want that spirit. But everybody came to the apartment. Everybody was over at the apartment. And whosoever will, let them come. It was at the apartment. He said, I hate that. I hate that. He says, when you was by yourself, you were single, you was always at the church. I mean, you was like a piece of furniture. Every time they showed up, you was there. But then God gave you a little somebody, amen, blessed you with somebody, and now, Sunday, my family day. I can't be all the way down there. That's time I got to spend with my baby. God said, boy, y'all need to stop. That's what the God is saying. Y'all need to stop. Favor blocks pride in your life. James chapter 4, verse number 6 says, oh, this is what I love about, boy, this is my part right here. Every time I read this, something happened to me. But he gives more grace. Underline that in your Bible. He gives you, where you think you blessed right now, God says, I got more favor for you. He says, wherever you think you living good now, he says, you don't even have a clue of what I can do. All I got to do is speak one word. All I got to do is touch one person's heart. You, boy, I could take you somewhere that you can't even imagine. He gives more grace. Hallelujah. Somebody say, give me more, God. Give me more. If more is available, I want it. There's a greater level of peace you can walk in. I'm talking about where nothing don't get to you. Hallelujah. Where you can be walking through fire, but be calm as a cucumber. Or cool as a cucumber, however they say that. James 4 and 6. Look what he says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists what? The proud. He said, I got grace to give to you, but I resist the proud. I resist. I hold back my favor from people who proud. I hold that back. I resist the proud. Now you got to start working with your own strength. Now you got to start chopping a tree with the axe handle and not the axe head. Oh. Boy. He says he resists the proud. But look what he gives to those of us who are humble. I give grace. There's another word for favor. I give favor to those of you who are humble. There's a favor for your life when you humble yourself. There's a favor for your life. And not only is there a favor, he says, but I can give more favor. Because see, the task is not to become humble. The task becomes staying humble. The challenge is not to get humble, because when we're in a position of need, oh, we can humble. But it's when you get it to stay humble. And that's the challenge of God's blessing. I want to know, can you stand to be blessed? Can God bless you and trust you at the same time? See, he hates it. And then number three, pride always produces destruction. That whenever a spirit of pride comes upon you, baby, you are on your way down. You're on your way down. Watch this. Go to Proverbs chapter number 16, verse number 18. Whenever that spirit of pride rears its ugly head in your life, you're on the way down. Don't embrace that. Don't embrace that spirit of pride. Don't get that puffed up. Because whenever it happens, you're on your way down. If it's good, say it's good, Pastor. You got to watch that. 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 Spirit of pride. Look what he says in Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before what? Before a fall. Before a fall. Let me show you. Let me give you a case study of this, and then I'm going to pray with you. Because some of us in this place, our area of pride is being stubborn. That sometimes some things can happen in your life where you just become stubborn. You give up. Say, I ain't trying no more. You're just stubborn. Stubborn. When God show you the error of your way and you so stubborn, you can't go and ask for forgiveness. Keeps you in pride. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Let me hear your pages turning. Glory to the name of the Lord. Favor of the Lord is on my life. Favor of the Lord is on my life. God, I understand. I can't be prideful. I'm not going to be lifted up. I'm not going to exalt myself. Because if I exalt myself, you're going to have to humble me. But if I can just humble myself, then you promise to exalt me. Hallelujah. Somebody say, the favor of the Lord is on my life. Now, let me read this passage to you here. It's a good example of what happens when pride comes into your life. It's the story of a fellow by the name of Naaman. Everybody say Naaman. Look what the Bible says beginning at verse number 1. Let me read this. It's going to be a little lengthy, but it'll make sense. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor. Watch this. This man, Naaman was now, he was the secretary of defense. He was a mighty man. He was the one that put the strategy together for Syria to win the war. He's a mighty man. He's somebody in the country. And the Bible says, watch this, because of him, that's favor that's on his life, because of him, the army won the battle. But the Bible says here also at the end of verse number 1, but he was a leper. That he had some issues everybody else couldn't see. That's what leprosy was. Because at that time, obviously, Naaman's leprosy wasn't exposed to everybody. Because had the leprosy been exposed, he would have been required to get out of the general population. Because it was Levitical law that whoever had leprosy had to excommunicate themselves with everybody else. The word goes on to say that you had to put your hand over your mouth and declare unclean, unclean because of this disease that you had. And can I tell you something in here today, that there are some lepers in here today? All right. There were some of us, if we would take off the clothing of the outside and people could really see what was going on in your life, that there's some leprosy that disqualifies us. But the blood of Jesus covers us. So the Bible says that Naaman was a leper. And look what happened. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young slave girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Watch this. They went into Israel. They raided the country. And they brought this one girl back. And they said, you're going to be our servant in the house. You're going to be my wife's servant. And the Bible says, then she, this servant girl, said to her mistress, Naaman's wife, if only my master Naaman were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. See why you can't look down at people who seem to be insignificant? Because Naaman had an issue that nobody else knew about and could deal with, but the little girl who was just a slave in the house, she says, I know somebody that can take care of your issue. Boy, aren't you glad that God will send somebody who knows somebody, amen? And the only reason you're here tonight is because somebody told you about a man named Jesus, and that man named Jesus came and healed you of all of your disease. So she says, listen, I know this man, this prophet in Samaria, but he would heal him of his leprosy. Verse 4, and Naaman, watch this now. He passed the first test. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, okay, Naaman, go now. I'm going to give you a passport. And took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. I don't know why he had changed clothes 10 times, but anyway. Now, verse number 6. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel. Watch this. He get there and says, now be advised when this letter comes to you that I sent Naaman my servant to you that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, wait a minute, king, this ain't no government matter. This is something that God's going to do supernatural. Because all your issues can't be solved through the government intervening. There's some stuff God's going to just have to favor you to come out of. Don't start me to teach him when I ain't trying. He says, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Look what happened. Naaman says, okay. Then Naaman went with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house. Come on, picture this on that television in your head. Now, Naaman pulling up to the house. He got chariots, horses. He got limos, all this kind. His chariot probably had spinning wheels on it because he was the man back in Syria. He pulls up to Elijah's house. He says, this preacher about to heal me because I got some money in the back too. He was wealthy. And look what happened. And Elisha sent a messenger to him. Elijah didn't even go out. Saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And your flesh shall be restored to you. And you shall be clean. Oh, wait a minute. Naaman hurt now. Because he don't know who I am. I'm the Secretary of Defense from Syria. I know you see my rims. They still spinning. And you're not going to even come out and even address me? You're going to send this servant out here to address me? And then you're going to go tell me to dip in the Jordan River? The muddy, nasty, dirty Jordan River? Look what happened the next one. And Naaman became furious. Look at his pride. Look at his pride. He about to mess everything up because of his pride. He became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over the place and heal me. Surely he going to come out here and anoint me with some oil or something. I done came all the way from Israel. I'm the Secretary of Defense. Look at this pride. He saying, now come on now. This all I get, you just going to tell me to dip in the muddy Jordan 7 times? Look what he says. He goes on. He says, are there not the Abani and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus? They're better bodies of water than the Jordan. Look at his pride. Now he the one that need to be healed. But he trying to pull rank talking about, do you know who I am? Baby, God don't care who you are. Because all of us in the sight of God, we are nobody, filthy rags. And here it is, the prophet is about to bless him. But because he's so built up in himself, it's producing this rebellion and this disobedience. And see, this is what happens to us when we build up ourselves in our eyes. When you think you're somebody and you're nobody in God's eyesight, that what happens is you miss out on your miracle. Hallelujah. Now, how many of us, God has instructed us to do certain things, but your pride wouldn't let you obey? Teach, pastor, I'm doing the best I can. How many times God is saying, okay, I understand that you do this, but today I want you to bow in worship. How many of you that God has told you to go and to say this to this person and to go and to speak to this person and to go and fellowship over here and you didn't do it? And you didn't even know that that was an avenue that the Lord was trying to bless you with. He says, could he not come and I wash in one of those clean bodies of water. So he turned and went away in rage. See that? His pride. No, I ain't doing nothing. I'm leaving now. They're going to ask me to go sit in a parking lot and direct traffic. You know, don't they know who I am? Come on, it happens all the time. It happens all the time because we get too big to do small things. But whenever you get too big to do small things, you're too small to do big things. Oh, I'm teaching real well right now. Well, whenever you get too big to do small things, you're too small to do the big things. Oh, whenever you think that you can't condescend to men of lower estate, God says you ain't ready to go to the top. Because when you're ready to go to the top, you really gonna know who the Lord is. Yeah.